Welcome to a new edition of Mercenary Musings Radio featuring mining analyst and commodities expert, the mercenary geologist, Mickey Folt. We are your most trusted source for in-depth analysis and commentary on commodities, mining, and the junior resource sector. And welcome to a very special edition of the Mercenary Musings Radio Show with the mercenary geologist himself, Mickey Folt. Special show for two reasons, Mr. Folt. One, we're here at the PDAC convention in Toronto, the world's biggest mining show. And two, you and I get to sit down and have a beer face-to-face, and that does not happen too often.
No, it doesn't, Rob. I'm only in Toronto once or twice a year, it seems, and but we always make time to get together at our favorite downtown watering hole in the middle of the financial district and chat about whatever we decide to chat about.
Okay, well, we can chat today, I think, Mickey, about a very topsy-turvy time in the equity markets. And a lot of it coming down to the tweeting tirade, some people call it, of your U.S. President Donald Trump, really setting the market on its rear end last week, coming out with tweets saying that the United States was going to impose tariffs on steel imports, aluminum imports. Caught a lot of people by surprise. The market really flipped on its head because of that.
Well, the market is very itchy and antsy right now. So, you know, we had the 10% correction, what, 2 or 3 weeks ago, and immediately recovered about 6 or 7% of that. But the volatility index, the VIX, is doubled from what it was. Now, it was at historic lows, but it's been floating around plus or minus 20. We like volatility because that gives us trading entry and exit points. But so the markets are really antsy. You know, they've probably got a little bit overbought. But Trump's tweets just seem to treat us to constant turmoil this latest time on trade tariffs. But realize that Trump starts negotiations via Twitter. You know, he is all about the art of the deal. And he's, you know, we remember the days when Reagan was called the great communicator. I think we should call Trump the great negotiator, because people interpret his tweets as drawing line in sand. That's absolutely wrong. What he's doing is he's setting the bar where he's going to start negotiations. So he makes people think about, this guy's a little bit
running off the rails.
Yeah, he's a bit of a wing nut, and you never know quite what he's doing. Kind of reminds me, it's a much different scenario when Reagan scared the hell out of the Russians with the bluff of Star Wars. So, you know, Trump can scare the hell out of the Canadians. He can scare the hell out of the European Union. He can scare the hell out of the Chinese. But, you know, what's going to come of it? Well, he doesn't have any ability to put on these trade tariffs unilaterally. He's got to have Congress to do it. This is a starting
point. Nothing more than a negotiating ploy on his part.
I think so. You know, it makes no sense to put on trade tariffs to our two biggest trading partners on our north and southern borders. We're members of NAFTA. You know, I know that people up here had conniption fits that he was going to scrap NAFTA. Well, he's not going to scrap NAFTA. That makes no sense in the world. But he is going to negotiate a better deal for NAFTA with both Canada, for the U.S., both Canada and Mexico, you know.
Well, there certainly was a big relief in the markets today, Mickey. Stocks stumbled out of the gate, but we saw upward momentum throughout much of the day. Across the board, closings in New York of a gain of 1% or more, healthy gain of more than 1% here in Toronto for the TSX Big Board. And look at that little venture exchange up 1.6%. So, you know, there is belief now that indeed it may have, these are bargaining ploys and that these tariffs will not come to fruition.
Yeah, well, they may come to fruition in other parts of the world, but we realize who our important trading partners are, and that's Canada and Mexico. A lot of this is deliberately aimed at China, and it appears to me he's doing a broad brush, but really the focus is on China, because, you know, Chinese are trying to become the 800 gorilla on the block, which the U.S. now is, and the trade deals that came about during the Obama administration were blatantly unfair to America, and that's going to change. You know, Trump says he's going to make America great again, and in my mind, he's trying to make America first again. Yeah. And we are still the world's reserve currency and the world's largest economy by far.
Okay, while we saw pretty healthy gains in the equity markets, pretty flat trade right across the board in the metals, Mickey. What would a trade war mean for the metals market? That would not be good for anybody, though, would it?
Well, I don't really know. I haven't really assessed that. Certainly a 20% tariff on steel and a 10% on aluminum is going to help American producers of both those commodities. We get a lot of aluminum from Canada. I don't know if you're aware of that.
Yes.
Steel is probably a little lesser component of what we get from Canada. But we do have an American steel industry, an American aluminum industry, which has suffered over the last few years. And so the markets didn't like it. The automakers didn't like it. What'd you tell me, 22 of 30 Komodos, the Dow Industrials?
Yeah, 22 of the 30 Dow CEOs have come out against the tariffs that President Trump has said that he would put in place. And I think it was a report from Goldman today. They came out saying that if these imports on steel and aluminum were put in place, you'd see Ford and GM take a $1 billion profit hit. And I don't think President Trump wants to see that happen.
Well, that's not going to happen. And Goldman's got, they're talking their own book here. I bet they're long on U.S. automakers. So, you know, those guys, they're banksters. I don't really pay a lot of attention. It just tells me when they come out with these sorts of forecasts that they have skin in the game and they see that they would be hurt by something like this. So, you know, whatever happens is it's not going to wreck the U.S. trade markets or the world trade market. Trump's a smart guy. You know, he's pro-business, he's pro-capitalist, he's very much a capitalist, and it's pro-development, and, you know, it's not going to do anything untoward that would significantly harm U.S. interests. Wherever
he doesn't want to see
that.
He doesn't want to see that equity market dive either, because when it was going up in one direction, he was bragging about that, saying, "Look what I've done." He doesn't want to see it go the other way, does he?
No, and I don't think it is going to go the other way. You know, I know some people who think there's recessions coming. I think the real concern would be interest rates and the U.S. debt. You know, with the new Fed chairman, Jerome Powell, came out and said he sees 4 interest rate rises this year. So that takes us from, what, 1.75? Are we at 2 now?
Yeah.
1.75 or 2.
Still very low.
To 3. So, you know, the economy, and a good economy, we can absorb that. The real concern would be servicing the U.S. debt. You know, the tax bill is going to make everybody happy here. I think in March we all learned that we're going to pay less taxes if you're a wage slave and get a statement, a check from your employer every 2 weeks, and the government holds out this or that. People are going to see a bump in their cash coming into their account right away. So that's really what it's about. And for the elections pending, people have more money in their pocket, they're going to be happy.
Okay. Let's wrap it up on a quick comment, a generalized comment from you on this junior mining market, Mickey. That's what the PDAC is for many people. It's a look at what's going on in the junior mining sector. What are your thoughts right now on the overall health of the group? And for retail investors listening, what are some of the main points that they really have to consider right now?
Well, the index was up, what'd you say, about 1.5% a day. And I would say that's definitely due solely to the fact that the PDAC is here. Oftentimes, the high of the year will be during the PDAC, and it's a good time to take profits. I think the junior sector, the commodities have gone up, and equities generally have not followed. Commonly, we see either equities front run prices, or prices front run equities in this case. I think it's the latter case, particularly for gold. Gold really drives this market. Gold has strong resistance at 1360. Until that is breached, we've tested it two or three times over the last couple of years, and we don't even seem to be able hardly to get there. This last time we didn't even quite get there. That's very strong resistance. If it breaches that, then there'll be some resistance at 1380, but I think psychologically the big number will be 1400. Whether that occurs, it really depends on the dollar. There's just this incredible correlation over since July 15th with the U.S. dollar and gold, negative correlation, inverse correlation. It's well over 0.9. So basically, gold goes up, dollar goes down. Or I should say it differently. Dollar goes up, gold goes down. Dollar goes down, gold goes up. So with a weakened U.S. dollar, which is the Trump platform, so we can improve our trade balance or deficit, I think that bodes well for gold going forward.
All right. Good way to wrap it up. Mickey, great to get together with you again. Thanks very much for this. We're going to end the program here, order another round, and we'll catch up again in about 3 to 4 weeks.
All right. Thanks a lot, Rob.
That's Mickey Fulp, the mercenary geologist. You can find him on the web at mercenarygeologist.com. I'm Robert Graham at Mercenary Musings Radio. Thanks for listening.